Good morning. This is Christ for Us. I am Pastor Preuss. The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 19 through 28. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize, if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord. When John baptized people, he was laying claim to authority from God himself. There is a common misconception among Christians these days that John's baptism was purely a symbolic washing that did not actually provide the forgiveness of sins. This is a reading back into the biblical text, the doctrine advanced by the heretical Anabaptists of the 16th century that became the official teaching of most Protestants in our day. That doctrine is false, but tremendously popular. The doctrine to which I refer is that the sacraments are mere representations or reminders of God's grace, but do not actually convey God's grace. If holy baptism is just a symbolic washing with no spiritual benefit, and if the Lord's Supper is just a symbolic meal that does not give us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, and if the absolution is just the sincere wishes of a man and not the actual forgiveness of our sins by Jesus Christ himself, then we don't really need holy baptism or the Lord's Supper or the absolution. But if these are in fact powerful and life-giving means of grace whereby God himself gives to us the salvation that Jesus won for us on the cross, then we do need them. In fact, they are precious treasures to us, for they bring Jesus Christ himself to us, that we may embrace him in faith and receive from him all of the spiritual blessings he has to give. Who do you claim to be? When the religious leaders questioned John, they questioned his authority to baptize. We learn from the Gospels that John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Where did he get that authority? Was he the Christ? John said no. He was not the Christ. Was he Elijah? John said no, he was not Elijah. Was he the prophet? John said no, he was not the prophet. In challenging John's authority to baptize a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, they zeroed in on who John was. But John backed away from being anything or anybody. He didn't want to confuse the issue. In his own estimation, John was nobody. How did he identify himself? He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Note three things here. First, he is but a voice. His own personal piety, power, status, prestige, lineage, or popularity are irrelevant to the question of what or who John is. He is nothing but a voice. Second, what he says is said so that you may be prepared to meet the Lord Jesus when he comes, to prepare the way for the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is to prepare the way for Jesus. He is the Lord God in the flesh. Third, John speaks as the one God himself promised to send through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah. In other words, John's authority is grounded in the Bible. Three things. The authority is what is said. The authority is to prepare people for Christ, their Savior. The authority is grounded in the Bible. If baptism is but a symbolical washing that does not bestow forgiveness of sins and eternal life, well, then the authority to baptize is no big deal. Nobody would have bothered questioning John were his baptism just a symbolic ritual that he made up. The religious authorities questioned John precisely because he was baptizing. They asked, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" When the gospel is preached and the sacraments are administered, something is happening. And that something is from God. The men who challenged John later challenged Jesus. It was a question of authority. John set the stage for the controversy that began then in the first century and continues until the end of time. He said to them, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." He who came after John, in fact, came before John. John was not worthy to be his servant. He who preached after John was he by whom all things were made in the beginning. He to whom John pointed was the eternal wisdom by whom God made the world. The man whose way John prepared was the eternal God, whom we confess as God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. What do you think of Jesus? That's the real question. They came to John asking him, in effect, "Who do you think you are?" "Forget about me," John says. "I'm but a voice. I just say what God says to say. I myself don't matter a bit. But what I say matters. Because what I say is about him who is from everlasting to everlasting, the only God who exists, the God who has now joined the human race to become your Savior. I'm but a voice. But what you hear from me is the most important thing you could hear from anyone. Prepare the way for the Lord. Prepare the way for Jesus, who is true God and true man." What does it mean to prepare the way for the Lord? Well, the first thing it doesn't mean is getting him to come to you. Now, this is a fundamental error, and it's very, very common. People think that by some kind of a spiritual exercise, and there are all sorts of variants on this theme, they can get God to come to them and be gracious to them. They have rules, or they have religious activities, or they have a certain law or principles, whatever it is. If they do what their religion prescribes for them to do, they will obtain whatever benefit their God has to give. So preparing the way for the Lord in the mind of such a person is to do whatever's necessary to get the Lord to come. Well, they don't get it, do they? Jesus never waited for the world to be ready for his coming. The world didn't prepare to meet him. The world was dead in their sin. And when God became a man, he came to the world that didn't know him or even want him. So preparing the way for the Lord is not trying to get him to do anything, trying to get him to come, because he comes all willing, moved by his grace alone. What does it mean then to prepare the way of the Lord? It means to repent, to confess your sin, to confess your sin to God. Who decides what's right and wrong? Is it you or is it God? How do you know when you're doing what is acceptable before God? How do you know when you're doing what God condemns? Where are you going to go? What are you going to consult? God decides what is right and what is wrong, and he sets it down plainly in the Ten Commandments. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the commandments of God. Have you kept these commandments? Check it out. Get a hold of Luther's Small Catechism and look through the explanation of the Ten Commandments in Luther's Small Catechism. I don't think anybody has written a better summary of what God requires of all humanity than the summary of the Ten Commandments in the explanation of Luther's Small Catechism. Now take a look at what it says. Have you feared and loved and trusted in God above all things? And have you loved your neighbor as yourself? And take a look at what it says about honoring your parents, about caring for your neighbor's bodily needs, about respecting marriage, respecting the property that belongs to your neighbor and the reputation that belongs to your neighbor. And that's just talking about the things that we owe to one another. What does it oblige you to do to God himself? Admit your sin, that you're guilty of breaking God's Ten Commandments. And then go to where the gospel is proclaimed purely and the sacraments are administered faithfully. Don't despise baptism. Don't despise that baptism with water. Nowadays, people will say, oh, well, there's water baptism and then there's spirit baptism. What nonsense. Jesus Christ himself joined the water to the spirit in John chapter 3 when he says, unless you're born of water and the spirit, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. So don't let anybody break asunder what Christ has joined together. There is only one baptism, and it's for the forgiveness of sins, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. Do not despise your baptism, because that baptism remains for you a washing of forgiveness, of rebirth, of renewal until the day you die. If you despise your baptism, you're going to be running off into error. But you look at your baptism and you look at the words that you hear, the gospel, the voice of God that gives you forgiveness from Christ's sacrifice on the cross. If Jesus is the one who took your sin away by becoming your brother and bearing your guilt and sin on the cross, by fulfilling the law, by doing everything it demanded of you, if Jesus has done all this for you, his voice forgiving you your sins must be valid. It must be powerful, and it must be the source and strength of your faith now and throughout all your life. Merry Christmas. Amen. We thank you for being our guests today on Christ for Us, a Confessional Lutheran broadcast. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast.